Good evening. My name is Daniel. I'm a grateful believer in Jesus. I've got some victory over being abusive, and I'm teaching tonight.
Hey, Daniel.
So our lesson tonight is moral, M-O-R-A-L, and I was kidding with Jack that I had four of the five letters down, and I was going to ask for audience participation on the letter A, but let's see if my notes have the letter A. Yeah, so this is principle four and step four. Let's see if we've got some Bible verses just to start us out here. Let's read this all together. Principle four, openly examine and confess my faults to myself, to God, and to someone I trust. Happy are the pure in heart, Matthew 5:8. Step four, we made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Let us examine our ways and test them, and let us return to the Lord. Lamentations 3:40. So moral, it's a touchy subject because, what is morally right and what is morally wrong? If you're in the world, moral right and wrong are relative to you. You get to set your own scale of what is right and what is wrong. If you're a Christian, you will read the Old Testament and New Testament, and you'll find out what God says, what's right and wrong. And what God says, what's right and wrong, is quite different than what the world says. So we just have to be aware of what are we following, what would be right and what would be wrong. And so these lessons kind of help us. And in CR, we do use the scriptures to help us confront our faulty thinking with godly thinking. So this whole idea of an inventory or moral inventory and confession might be something quite new to you. I know as a kid growing up Roman Catholic, every Saturday we went to confession. And I'll never forget my first confession. You go into you slide open a door, you go into a dark closet, and then the priest slides open a little thing, and you can't see him, but there's little holes. And I start confessing, all the wrongs I did against my brothers and sisters. And he stops me, and he goes, "No names, no names." And I was going, the first thing I hear is a correction. And so from then on, I just say, my older brother, my sister, my mom, my dad. I didn't get as specific, but at least as Roman Catholic going up, I had some idea about confession, and it's something I did every week. So I had some clue. But as I got older, I think I just stopped going to confession. So it really just wasn't part of my weekly or daily habit until I really started getting into recovery and started learning that taking an account of my behavior and harms that have come to me is something that I should not stuff and hide, but I should bring to the surface and start to deal with it in a safe place. So that's what we're going to be doing tonight. You've got a handout there. We've got an acrostic with five letters. Last year, I think it was last year, I did the Journey Continues. It's like step study number two after you've got some sobriety. And I wanted to know what should I concentrate on. So I went to my wife, someone that knows me the best, and I said, "What should I concentrate on? What possible defects could I have?" And she said, well, she said many things, but the first thing she said was, "You brag about cycling." So I was busted. But if you are a cyclist and you're on Strava, come find me, and we'll talk to each other on Strava. That's okay. But we are not very good judges of what's wrong with us. So that's why we ask other people what their viewpoint of us is. So that might be your spouse, it might be a family member, It might be somebody in CR that you know or trust. It might be somebody at church, somebody in authority, somebody that's known you for decades. Could even be a sibling, could be a sponsor, could be an accountability partner. But we need someone to kind of get us started looking at what might be a habit that we have that's not functional. So when we start thinking about the idea of a moral inventory, it's not going to be something you can sit down and finish tonight during this lesson. You probably can't even finish your inventory in 1 hour. It may take several hours. If you've never done a moral inventory before, you're basically trying to list out things that are unresolved conflict in your life. You know, times when you may have hurt somebody else by what you said, by what you did, or what you didn't do. Or you may have been hurt by somebody else by what they said, what they did, or what they didn't do to you. But these could be major life events, and it's going to take a while to do it. So for the handout, the first fill in the blank is the letter M, and it's for make time. Make time. So if you want to do a good inventory, you're going to have to set aside some time. I'm a calendar person, so I would just, when I was doing step study and doing my homework, I would just block out a piece of time. When I turned the volume on my phone off, I wouldn't respond to text messages, I wouldn't do social media, I wouldn't talk to anybody else. I go to a quiet place by myself where I'm not going to be interrupted, and I'm just going to put my time into doing this one thing in my recovery. So if you're serious about it, you're going to have to make some time to start this inventory, this moral inventory of your life. There's a Bible verse here from Job. Let's read this out loud together. Then listen to me, keep silence, and I will teach you wisdom. Job 33:33. So God's word is filled with a lot of wisdom. And if we just stop listening to the world and stop taking in all the stimulus, since we're a very stimulated world, and just start looking at what's happened in our life, what got us to this place, we're going to be in a much healthier position. So one of the other things that I make time for, of course, is going to CR and reading the Bible every day. And when I read the Bible every day and I'm reading the verses and I'm hearing lessons about people, I'm asking myself, have I done what that person did? Did I follow their good example or did I follow their bad example? You know, what did I do that's similar to what this person is talking about here in Scripture? So I'm always asking myself that while I'm reading my Bible each day. And if you are an analytical person like myself, I've got a reading list for the Bible, and I go through all 66 books of the Bible in 1 year. So during my breakfast time, I'm just reading Old Testament, Psalms, Proverbs, and New Testament. And I get done in 1 year. And I check it off each day as I make progress. So I make time in recovery to do that. And if you're going to do a moral inventory, you're also going to have to make time. So if it's important enough, it goes in the calendar. The letter O is open. Be open when you do your inventory. You know, when someone does a teaching or someone does a testimony or you're in small group and you're listening to what's happened to other people, something similar may have also happened to you. So be open. Don't stuff those feelings or those experiences. Be open to hearing what other people have done in their lives and what the antidote is in their lives. Let's read the Bible verse, another one in Job, this one 7:11 on open. Let me express my anguish. Let me be free to speak out of the bitterness of my soul. Job 7:11. So God isn't afraid for you to pray to him and to talk to him and say, you know, my life is really horrible right now. I've done bad things. I've been hurt by other people. I've been offended by other people. Don't bottle it up. Pray to God. If you look in Psalms, most of Psalms are complaints and praise. It's almost like Festivus, you know, on Seinfeld. Festivus is a festival for the rest of us, but it's an airing of grievances. So it is a Christian thing, and it is a Jewish thing, airing your grievances. So get it out and say, this thing I did wrong, or this thing that happened to me was wrong. But expose it to the light and call it for what it is, because we're going to have to deal with it. And so that's what the moral inventory is we're bringing to light these things that have happened in our life that have shaped us for the better or for the worst. You know, God will start to heal us when we start to admit what our fault is and what our hurt is. If I never admit my fault and if I never admit my hurt, God is not free to move in my life. If I do admit my hurt and if I do admit my faults or things that have happened to me, God can come in and His Holy Spirit can start to restore me. Scripture is also pretty clear that openness is not only the things that we do and don't do, but it's the things that we think. So if you're driving in traffic and someone cuts you off, what are you thinking? If you're a competitive guy like me, you're thinking, I'm going to pull ahead of him and cut him off real good and see how he likes it. But my dad taught me two wrongs don't make a right. So I don't do that, but I can think that. And if I think about getting even with somebody, Scripture tells me that's as bad as doing the thing. Okay? So we're as sick as our thoughts, we're as sick as our secrets. So if you have thoughts of revenge, thoughts of getting even, you have to confess those things, and they get to go on your inventory list. So it's actions and thoughts. So be open to your actions and your thoughts when you do your inventory. The next fill-in-the-blank letter is letter R for rely. So when I relied on my own thinking, it got me into Celebrate Recovery 22 years ago. And my own thinking was, view porn, get excited, act out, hide it, don't talk about it, rinse and repeat. Of course, I got caught. I got busted. The wife said, go get help or you're done. So I came into recovery not because of my own will. It was under duress. Now I come under my own will because it's good for me and it's healthy for me. So now I have to rely upon God's wisdom and God's strength. So I've learned how to do that. But we can't rely upon our own thinking to change ourselves. We need God's thinking and God's help to change us. So there's a Bible verse here in Psalm 31. Let's read this one here for rely. Love the Lord, all of you who are His people, for the Lord protects those who are loyal to Him. So cheer up, take courage if you are depending on the Lord. Psalm 31, 23 to 24. The more we rely on God, the more we talk to God, the healthier we're going to be. So the more we rely on Him, the more we talk to Him, the more we're going to change, the healthier we're going to get. Our circumstances may remain the same or even get worse. But if I'm relying upon God, I'm going to get an eternal perspective on life and not a worldly perspective on life. So I can change my attitude from this world to the eternal world, the invisible world, the spiritual world. So when I say rely upon God, it's not a one-time thing. So I have to get up every morning and start relying upon God. You know, what do you want me to do today? Well, Daniel, you should love your wife. You should love your children. You should be kind to the people you meet today. You know, Scripture's filled with all the things I should be doing. And if I rely upon God, open up my Bible, and start reading it, it'll start telling me how to act differently today. So I can take what I read and put it into practice every single day. And that's relying upon God's wisdom and not my own. The next letter in our acrostic is A for analyze. Analyze. You know, some people think, oh, you're in a Christian 12-step. It's all spiritual. You know, you'd put your mind on hold. It's like, no. Examining your life takes mental effort. It takes courage. It takes time. It takes patience. You know, we have to have skills to look at ourselves. And so there is a Bible verse here from Proverbs 20. Let's read this one together. Do we have the Bible verse? There we go. The Lord gave us mind and conscience. We cannot hide from ourselves. Proverbs 20:27. I love that. We can't hide from ourselves. There's an expression in recovery, wherever you go, there you are. So that means it doesn't matter if I'm in Tualatin or Wilsonville or Hawaii or England. Wherever I am, I bring my attitude with me. I bring my past with me. I bring my hurts and hang-ups with me. But if I analyze my behavior and analyze my good points and my bad points, I can have understanding. I can gain some insight. You know, if you're not quite sure what your life issues are and you're too shy to ask other people, in the back of the room, we've got some flyers that have some different life issues. And so, like for codependence, I think you can open up codependence and it will have a list of 10 questions. Or if your issue is anger, I think when I looked at the list for anger and there were 10 questions, I answered yes to 9 out of 10. And so it's like, yeah, okay, maybe Daniel's got an anger problem. So I have to deal with it. I was telling my sponsor, I was on a bike ride this last week and some youth were driving by in a car and they rolled down the window and they screamed as loud as they could to see if they could make me flinch or fly off my bike. So I thought, this will not stand. So when the light turned red, I pulled up beside them, and as I cycled by, I took my left fist and I hit their window as hard as I could. And it felt so good to hit that window. But that was two wrongs and it didn't make a right. But it made me feel good at the moment. And then I thought, oh my God, I'm 68 and they're teenagers. They're going to come get me. So fortunately, they didn't come get me. But they did drive by and video me. And I just kept a laser beam focused straight ahead. And I don't know where their video got ended up, but it's probably on social media. And yeah, if you see the police come in, just, we don't know him. He doesn't ride his bike. That wasn't him. Yeah. The other thing with analysis is when I came to group, I learned that sarcasm, making people laugh, can often be me putting somebody down and elevating myself. So I found out that I used a lot of sarcasm and I put other people down to make me feel bigger and more important. And so I started confessing that and started dealing with it. So we're making this list so that we can deal with it. And I learned in recovery that the antidote to sarcasm is affirmation. So now I find people doing things right, and I affirm them. So it's the opposite of sarcasm, putting somebody down. It's affirming people. So whatever your life issue is, the scripture is going to give you an antidote to it. And by making a list, you're going to figure out what your issue is and what the antidote is. The next letter is L for list. How are we doing on time there? Okay. I have a timekeeper up in front. I highly recommend it. List, L for list. And let's read from Lamentations, this Bible verse. Let us examine our ways and test them. Lamentations 3:40. So we're dealing with our life by bringing up hurtful issues, and we're making a list. You'll learn in subsequent lessons that this list is going to be balanced. We're going to have both things I regret doing or things I regret having happened to me, and then also things that I'm proud of or things that affirm me. So a list is basically going to help me start to see patterns in my life. And there's something about writing that out. And when you start to make your list, eventually you're going to read your list to another person in your inventory. So there's something about thinking about it, writing it down, and then actually speaking it that's going to be liberating for you. You're going to start to break the crazy cycles that you're in. So this is how we deal with life, by making this list. You know, there's a lot of questions that will help you get started. You know, how do you get started to making the list? Some people make their list linear in time. They start from birth and go to present day. Other people just go highlights. You know, it doesn't matter what order your list is in. You just have to be thorough in your list. And you're going to be doing this over a period of weeks, so you don't have to get it all right the very first shot. But in general, you know, you can put on this list, is there anything I feel guilty about? Is there something I feel guilty about, I'm ashamed about, I regret doing, I would wish to do it over again, I wish this never happened to me? So for me, you know, when I started recovery, I was guilty about using pornography and hiding it from my family. I felt guilty about assaulting a son just to stop an argument. I felt guilty about padding my expense report at work. And I felt guilty about not loving my wife. So those are some of the things that went on my list on the negative side. Other things you can start to put on your list is, who do I resent? Or what do I resent? You know, do I have resentments in my life, bottled up resentments? So I resented others at work for their decisions that I just disagreed with. I resented getting laid off at work. I resented positions held by some politicians. I resented paying taxes. I resented my brother who beat up my mom when I was a little kid. You know, so those are some of the things that I resented, just to get you thinking. And then other things you can put on your list is, who or what do I fear? Is there something that I fear? So on my list, I feared that my marriage would end after revealing my porn habit. I feared that my children wouldn't turn out well, and I feared losing my job. And then I feared what others would think about me if I came clean about my bad habits. So these are just some ideas to get you started in your journey of making this moral inventory to be complete and thorough, to expose it to the light, and to start to ask God to bring in healing to replace the hurts and the habits with new habits. And we heard that there's a women's step study coming up in January. That's a great place to deal with this list and deal with these issues and deal with this hurt in your life and bring it to the surface and come up with some new habits and some new boundaries. So just to summarize, moral, M-O-R-A-L, make time for your inventory, openly examine your life, rely on God, not your old thinking, analyze what's been going on, and make a list. So we're all here in recovery to get well together, and you've shown up tonight to put in the time to start doing that. So thank you for coming tonight and getting better together with all of us. Thank you. Daniel.